Wolves Cast, audio on demand.
Welcome into another episode of Wolves Cast Audio on Demand. John Folkey alongside Cal Soderquist here on the Timberwolves Radio Network. And hey, if you haven't checked it out yet and you've got an Amazon Echo or Dot or one of those devices, just tell Alexa you want to listen to the Timberwolves Radio Network. Say, hey Alexa, play podcast Wolves Cast, and it'll fire right up for you. Every day you can get a Timberwolves update as well. Hey Alexa, play podcast Wolves Minute. And it fires right up. It's pretty awesome and a great way to keep in touch and keep up on Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. You can also catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and of course, Timberwolves.com. Cal, Minnesota right now rolling. They have won 9 out of their last 12 games. Back-to-back wire-to-wire wins. In fact, back-to-back wire-to-wire blowout victories in front of sellout crowds here at Target Center. As you take a look back at these last two games, the Saturday win over New Orleans that snapped a two-game skid, the Monday win over the Cleveland Cavaliers, what's maybe one common theme or trend that you've seen out of those two?
Man, I think the fast starts, right? The way that they're jumping out on these teams, really coming out with intensity. We talked about it a little bit last week, too, that it shows that this team is really embracing the game plan and maybe kind of the weaknesses they want to exploit with their opponents. But this has just been fun, I think. I think it's the fifth straight home victory, too. And they're doing it against great teams, like you mentioned, and it's been a great atmosphere here at Target Center. I think the players are having fun as well, and as Coach Tom Thibodeau has always mentioned, they want to try to establish a real sort of home court advantage here and really make it tough for opponents to come in and play.
It really has been fun to watch this team get off to those starts, and you can tell the focus is there, the preparation is there, and really it's been in large part due to their defense. I mean, their defense has been fantastic starting back around December 6th. They've improved in that area. They're in the top 10 in defensive rating during that span, and their defense has now held five straight, make it six straight teams under 100 points. And, well, you might say, well, big deal. The fact is, these teams are scoring a ton. And you're talking about Cleveland, who came in with the number three ranked offense in the NBA, and Minnesota held them to 99 points, and LeBron James was a minus 39. So I think, well, you know, Boston missed some shots. Well, Cleveland missed some shots. Well, New Orleans missed some shots. I think you've got to give credit to Minnesota's defense and the way that these guys, number one, understand the game plan. Number two, have great trust and great chemistry on that side of the ball. I think it's part physical, it's part mental, and I also think it comes back to something that we heard guys talk about last year, in that you're not thinking so much on the defensive end. You're flowing into it. You're reading instead of reacting, and that makes it a lot easier to play defense when you're not a step behind, when you just find yourself in the right position. And so I think, you know, what really stands out to me, not just in these last two wins, but really over the last month, has been improvements on that defensive end for Minnesota.
I think you're right. It's starting to become muscle memory for those guys, and I think that's a testament to their commitment to the improvement and sort of getting rid of some of those inconsistencies we saw early in the season. And that all comes down to dialing it in practice and the shoot-arounds. And how many times did we hear Jimmy Butler, even after wins, say, yeah, this win was great, but we didn't really guard anyone tonight, and we have to start doing that. And he even said as much after the win against the Cavs on Monday that, yeah, we played a great three quarters or three and a half quarters, and then we kind of let off the gas in the fourth. And
they were up by 41. I understand what Jimmy's saying, and Tibbs as well, you know, about striving to be a 48-minute team. But, I mean, what, are you going to win by 50? I think there's just a natural tendency that, I mean, we missed the final break, you know, in that fourth quarter. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much, you know, the officials were just kind of like, okay, let's go. So I understand that you're trying to establish that, hey, once we get a team down, we want to keep them down mentality. But, you know, there's going to be some let up. There's going to be some, you know, guys kind of playing looser on both sides of the ball once you get to that fourth quarter when you build a 40-point lead. You know, another thing that stands out to me, Cal, is the kind of different feel around this team. There is a different swagger, a different confidence going into these games. And, I kind of felt it, you know, going into that, or I should say coming out of that New Orleans game. Minnesota on the second end of a back-to-back, coming off that loss in Boston, having to travel here to the cities. Well, New Orleans was just sitting in town waiting basically since Wednesday night, and the Wolves came out and took it right to New Orleans. And that felt kind of like a statement for Minnesota in that, hey, the chips might be up against us, but we're not going to allow that to dictate how we play. And it felt like that was a step in the right direction to becoming that team that, you know, finds ways even when things are going against them, even when there is some adversity on the second end of a back-to-back. And they just had a different kind of confidence as well, even after shoot-around on Monday against Cleveland. You know, Jimmy was excited about the challenge. Cat was very focused and, you know, very serious in talking about the matchup while not giving anything to Cleveland. You know, say, hey, they're a great team, but so are we. You know, there's just this mentality now that no longer is Minnesota looking at these other teams and saying, wow, they're a really great team. Hopefully we can hang with them. They're saying, hey, they're a really great team, but so are we. And they come in just with a different feeling that it's not going to be, hopefully we can hang with them. It's, we're coming in here to win.
And you know who said that on Monday morning? LeBron James. He said, let's get rid of that narrative that they're a young team now. They're not young anymore. And he rattled off some of those names, whether it's Jimmy Butler or Taj Gibson or Jeff Teague and Jamal Crawford, and all of those guys have helped sort of change that mindset here in this locker room and just around this team that, hey, you guys do have talent. Some of you are still young, but, you know, the excuses can go away now. You've had X amount of years in the league and certainly shown flashes, and now they're really starting to put it together. And I really go back to it being a lot of fun, like multiple moments of that game on Monday night, whether it was the Tyus Jones dunk, the Jimmy Butler triple right in front of halftime to beat the buzzer. I think the players were having fun, the fans were loving it, and that was just a good time.
And what a luxury to be able to stick a guy like Jimmy Butler on LeBron James. I mean, I think in the past, I was thinking about this morning, the last couple of years, Minnesota's had the offensive firepower to hang with Cleveland. And they did for a stretch. You know, it'd be up until middle of the third quarter or beginning of the fourth quarter, and then Cleveland would lock in defensively, LeBron would take over, and all of a sudden Minnesota was down by double digits. This time, Wolves got off to a great start. You've got a guy with the strength and the size to be able to hang with LeBron and bother him, and then there was just great switching. I mean, how many times did we see Taj Gibson switch off on LeBron and bother him in that first half and, you know, hang with him, or Jimmy switch off on Isaiah Thomas and, you know, use his size there to slow Isaiah down. So, you know, it's just a different animal when you've got that defensive ability to put guys like Taj or Butler and move them around on the perimeter, and then finishing with rebounds. You know, I felt like last night Minnesota A, got every defensive rebound, and B, got every offensive rebound. Their hustle was incredible in that win last night. And I want to bring up, you know, I know Coach brought it up after the game, but the play of Andrew Wiggins these last couple games, and we kind of talked about it last week, Cal, just in terms of he and Karl-Anthony Towns becoming complete players, impacting the game with their scoring, with their rebounding, with their assists, with their steals. And it's been fun to watch those guys take those steps and to becoming those complete players. And obviously there is a long way to go for both those guys, but it's nice to see those strides. And then I want to spotlight Gorgui Dieng, and we'll put him in the spotlight coming up in just a few moments in our second segment. But G has played great off the bench for Minnesota. It was a rocky start for him. He tried to, you know, had to find his way switching from being a starter to coming off the bench, but he seems to have found a groove. He's got great chemistry out there in that second unit with Jamal Crawford. Gorgie's showing us some range. He knocked down a couple of threes against New Orleans. He's got a toughness about him, good defensively, you know, great screen setter, great dribble handoff guy, and it's been great to see Gorgui find his groove off the bench and impact these games when Towns gets a little nicked up or goes into foul trouble or the matchup just dictates, hey, we got to have a guy like Gorgui out there, and he's been able to step in and play well for Minnesota.
And sort of like Tyus Jones, who used to be a second unit partner of Gorgui Dieng's, Gorgui is going to make a defense pay four or five times as often as he'll hurt the Timberwolves in terms of a mistake or anything like that. He's still one of the very best mid-range shooters in the league, and I think he just is so sound taking care of the basketball. And like you said, getting those hustle plays, going after offensive rebounds. He's not going to commit silly fouls. And I just love, he knows he's comfortable in that role, and I think he's getting the credit for it when he gets out there and his number's called. If he's open, he's going to shoot it. He rarely hesitates on that mid-range or even some of those corner threes. But he also doesn't hesitate to make that next pass, that extra pass, to get an even more open shot.
Yeah, Tibbs brought that up, that he's one of those guys that keeps the ball moving. So if he gets it in the mid-range and there isn't a shot, he's quick to go into a dribble handoff. He's quick to make that next read and pass to keep that ball moving. So great performances these last couple games up and down the lineup, and really over the last month, Minnesota has improved on the defensive end. You couple that with the way that they can play a top-five offense, and now you're looking at a team that is 10 games above 500. And Cal, we'll wrap up this first segment with a homestand continuing against a couple of opponents from the Northwest Division, but also a couple of teams chasing Minnesota in the Western Conference standings. And I look at these matchups with Oklahoma City and Portland as being very important for Minnesota, especially that OKC one. Wolves are fourth in the standings. Thunder are fifth. Minnesota is 2-1 against OKC. And as you look further down the line, and I know we just crossed the midpoint of the season and there's a lot of basketball left to be played, but you want to get as many season series wins in your back pocket as you can. Wolves took care of business against New Orleans. They're 3-0 against the Pelicans, who are 8th in the standings. They're 1-0 against Portland this season, 2-1 against the Thunder. They are 2-0, I believe, against Denver. I believe they got both those matchups against Denver. So you're sitting in a good position with opportunities to close those series out and have those tiebreakers in your back pocket if it comes down to that. And you'll be catching the Thunder on the second of a back-to-back, and Minnesota arguably playing some of their best basketball right now. So a great opportunity to continue to build separation between the number four spot and the number five spot.
Yeah, I think it's huge in the sense, not only, like you mentioned, that you've got those standings to worry about, and it's good to get those tiebreakers, but also from the big picture standpoint, these were always teams. I mean, how often were the Wolves at the bottom of the Northwest division by a large margin? And I think for years, Timberwolves fans had to deal with, whether it was the Blazers or the Nuggets or especially the Thunder, just having Minnesota's number. And now it's just kind of a readjustment of that mindset and that culture that we're not rolling over to anyone, especially our division rivals. And it's fun to start to see those rivalries kind of bloom, I guess you could say. There are plenty of big names. You look at the remaining three games in this homestand, even the Knicks, who are obviously not in Minnesota's division, but lots of fun names that we're going to get to see come into Target Center. And Minnesota, with the way they're playing, they're ready to go against anyone. We saw that on Monday against LeBron James and the rest of his teammates, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it ought to be a lot of fun. And the other thing, too, Minnesota, number one, they've been taking care of business at home, 15-6 at Target Center. Six sellouts, four straight sellouts here at Target Center. So Wolves getting it done in front of great crowds at Target Center, but they're also 12-1 against the Western Conference here at home. And you talked earlier about creating a home court advantage. Well, you want to do that no matter who you're playing, but you especially want to do it against teams that you're going to be seeing multiple times here at Target Center. So good on Minnesota for being able to do that and create that home court advantage, especially against teams not only from their division, but also from their conference. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, shine the spotlight on Gorgui Dieng, providing a nice spark off the bench for Minnesota this season. Plus, we'll go three in the key, top three storylines across the NBA. All of that still to come right here on this episode of Wolvescast Audio On Demand.
Get ready for a Battle of the North on January 20th as Jimmy Butler and the Timberwolves square off against DeMar DeRozan and the Toronto Raptors at Target Center. Catch Northern highlights from the pack as they ascend and attack and show the boys from Canada who really runs the North. Tickets are available at Timberwolves.com, so get yours now to see the Wolves in action. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes North. The Minnesota Timberwolves are presented by U.S. Bank.
Welcome back, Wolvescast Audio On Demand. John Fokey with you here. Coming up, we'll go three in the key, the top three storylines this week in the NBA. We'll do that with Cal Soderquist on the other side of the break. But first, we were just talking about him, Gorgui Dieng, providing a spark off the bench, and now we'll shine the spotlight on G.
5 years in, Gorgui, if I was to put together a scouting report on Gorgui Dieng, what would be in that scouting report?
I know, you tell me. You know, I know. It sounds quick this time, like it's quick to me, but I think we put a lot of work and effort into it. you know, these days. You know, I think we changed the way we play, the way we approach the game, and the way we carry ourselves too.
How much pride do you take in your three-point shooting? And you hit some big ones for Minnesota last year.
I mean, that's shots I work on every day. You know, it's not like my primary weapon that I want to go in the game, but the shots that when I get open, that's the shot the coach wants me to take. If I'm open, I'm taking it. If I'm not, I'm not trying to force it. You know, I put a lot of effort and time into my shooting games, and if I get on the court and I get open, I'm taking those shots. I don't care what people think or what they want to say. You know, the only thing matter is, personally, I know I can make those shots, and I've seen it going in a lot.
Oh, and fans have seen it go in, too. how about as a rebounder? What goes into being a good rebounder and being a rebounder at the NBA level?
I mean, it's tough to rebound in the league. The game is very physical, and it's very good that the ref, they let us play, you know, which is very good. You know? But it's very hard to rebound in this league. You have to hit. You have to see the ball. There is a lot of things that you need to put together in order to rebound the ball in a proper way.
All right, going back to year one, if you could give rookie Gorgui Jang a piece of advice, what would it be?
Just be patient, you know, and be a student of the game. If you stop learning, it means like you have to stop and do something else. It doesn't matter how many years you have in, you always want to be a student of the game. And if you're patient, like I didn't play the first 40, 50 games my rookie year, and I was very patient and put the work into it. Come in early, do my work. Also, always give Jack Sigma props, because Jack, he helped me a lot my rookie year. You know, even when I wasn't playing, he always come talk to me, work out with me, make sure I hit those bank shots, and then you know, that was very good for me. My rookie, I have somebody like him in the coaching staff.
And how has Coach Tibbs helped take what Jack, the foundation that he laid, and push it to a new level?
I mean, I play against him. You know, he did his scouting report before, and he was trying to get me in Chicago when I first got out of college. And, you know, he knows, I think, what I can and can't do. So his job is just to put me in a good situation that I will not fail.
Good stuff right there from Gorgui Jang. Keep it right here. Coming up next, Cal Soderquist rejoins me, and we go three in the key. Take a look at the top three storylines this week in the NBA. We'll do that next right here on Wolvescast Audio On Demand.
Gather the crew and enjoy some fun this season at Target Center with a friends and family 4-pack. Get 4 discounted tickets plus access to shoot a free throw on the court after the game. To purchase your 4-pack, visit Timberwolves.com/4-pack. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
Wolvescast Audio On Demand continues. John Folkey alongside Cal Soderquist. Don't forget to check us out. iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, the Alexa Echo or Dot. Just tell Alexa you want to hear a podcast, Wolvescast or podcast Wolves Minute, and we'll keep you up to date on all those things. Of course, Timberwolves.com, you can catch it there as well. Time to go three in the key, our top three storylines this week in the NBA. And Cal, I want to start with injuries impacting the Western Conference standings. And it's been interesting here because you've got Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, all in front of Minnesota. Those are the top three teams in the West. And Golden State's had to spend some time without Steph Curry, spend some time without Kevin Durant. Draymond Green's missed a couple of games. And yet the Warriors, 33-8 at the time of this taping, sitting atop the standings with a 4-game lead over Houston. So they've been able to weather the injury storm so far, no problem. Houston, meanwhile, dealing with James Harden, shelved with that hamstring injury. They are just 3-7 in their last 10 games, and they had the Western Conference lead until just recently when they've kind of gone into this slump, and it actually started before the Harden injury. Then you've got San Antonio, a team that's dealt with injuries to Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker early in the season, and now injuries to Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard again at this point in the season. So as we look at those injuries, the injury situation of those top three teams, knowing that Minnesota just 2 games back of San Antonio for third in the Western Conference, how do you see injuries impacting the Western Conference standings?
Well, as you sort of alluded to, I think it's an exciting opportunity for the Timberwolves to either gain ground or continue to solidify their spot there in the four, depending on what happens above them. But I think I'm not worried about the Warriors, and it's more their luxury of you lose one All-Star, you still can fall back on three others and a slew of talented players.
Their depth is incredible.
Yeah.
Even non-All-Star players, their depth is incredible.
So I think that they're uniquely built to sort of withstand anything that injuries might do to them. So then between the Rockets and Spurs, I think because of that continuity and the coaching prowess of Greg Popovich in San Antonio, they're going to be, and also what LaMarcus Aldridge has done so far this season, as you mentioned, having to already deal with not having Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard. I think the Spurs are going to be able to at least maintain where they are right now. There's a lot more being asked of Chris Paul in Houston, and I think it'll be very interesting to see how they continue to adjust, because as you mentioned, the short term at least, the results have not been there.
I agree with you about Golden State. Their depth is incredible. They can just slide guys in. They, like San Antonio, have that continuity of players who've been in the system, guys that they've developed, Jordan Bell, Patrick McCaw. These guys can just step in. No, they're not going to play at the exact same level as Kevin Durant, but they're going to be able to slide in and make the right pass, make the right play, and then allow guys like Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond to carry the load. San Antonio, I just kind of laughed thinking about their injury situation. The trainer goes into Greg Popovich, "Hey, Pop, bad news. You know, Kawhi's got a shoulder injury. Tony's going to be out again." And Pop goes, "Meh. Been there, done that. You know, we're third and we miss those guys for a big chunk." So
cue up Davis Bertans.
Yeah, just kind of shrug the shoulders and move on in San Antonio. I think the Houston Rockets are going to be hit hardest, mainly because James Harden, while they've surrounded him with very talented players, he does so much for that offense. He handles the ball so much. He sets guys up. He gets to the free throw line. Obviously, he gets his points. And so, you know, I look at that as if you turned to Oklahoma City a year ago and took Russell Westbrook out of there. You know, Westbrook just impacted that game in so many different areas, and that's what James does. And it's not to say that Chris Paul, you know, can't impact the game scoring, assisting, and rebounding. He certainly can, but over the last couple of years, the ball's been in the hands of James Harden so much, and he's been such a creator for that team that when you take him out, guys are going to have to adjust to different roles, and there's just not another player on that team as unique. I don't know if there's another player in the league that can do what James Harden does.
And I think all those guys complement Harden so well in terms of their skill sets and what they do well. So I agree.
That's a great point. And so, you know, Houston, as I mentioned, 3-7 in their last 10. I don't know how far the slide goes. I mean, they're four games back of Golden State. They're a game and a half up on San Antonio and 3.5 up on Minnesota. So how far the slide goes, and, you know, we'd have to look at their schedule coming up to see what it looks like in terms of, you know, road games, back-to-backs, games against teams above 500, all that. But I think Houston slides, and, you know, maybe not far enough that San Antonio jumps them or Minnesota jumps them, but I think they really rely so much on James Harden that that'll be a key injury. We'll wrap up three in the key with the All-Star voting. We had the first round of All-Star voting returns come down last week. We've got our next fan vote update coming up Thursday, January 11th. And we will start with this. Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo were voted, they were the top vote getters in the East and Western Conference. And you may remember it's a different setup in terms of the All-Star game this year, in that fans, media, and players will vote on the starting five. But once we get there, it just becomes a pool of players. And the top vote getter from each conference will become the captain. And then it'll be old school playground style pick 'em, where you get to choose the team. So East and West will be combined, and it'll just be, I don't even know how they're going to, is it going to be like world, you know, how are they going to name these teams?
I think it's just, who knows? Captain one, captain two, they can come up with
it. Maybe you come up with your own name, like like Little League. Right now, Kevin Durant, Giannis leading the way. Giannis, I believe, was the top vote getter overall. Certainly, he's got, you know, appeal not only in the United States, but worldwide appeal. Are you excited about this upcoming All-Star game with the tweaks to the format and kind of how it'll look and whether or not it'll bring back the competitiveness that we haven't seen in the last couple of years?
I think there's a chance. I think you could see certain guys who, You know, we've all been there on the playground where you don't get picked until right near the end and you get a little frustrated.
We haven't all been there.
I guess it was just me. And then you start chucking a lot and trying to prove that other captain wrong. So hopefully,
which is why you get picked near the bottom.
So hopefully we start to see, we see something like that, or maybe just the storylines that kind of fly under the radar. You know, is someone going to reach for their buddy, or is someone going to ignore someone that isn't necessarily their buddy? The other thing to me that stood out was just, we've always talked about how loaded the Western Conference is when mm-hmm. we compile these all-star rosters, but especially this year, it's ridiculous. Like, even just the backcourt that Jimmy Butler has to compete with to get some of those fan votes, when you look at those returns, whether it's Steph Curry, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, there's so many names there that just jump out to you as all-world caliber players. And I hope that they all stay healthy, because it could be a fun game just in that sense.
Well, and we should mention Karl-Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler were among the top 10 in that first round of votes. You can continue to vote for those guys and all your favorite Wolves players. Do it on Twitter. Just type in their name, hashtag NBA vote. What I'm looking forward to in this All-Star game is seeing guys that never get a chance to play together, play together. And whether it's because, you know, these guys are good players but maybe aren't on the national team, and, you know, so you don't see them play together there, not in the same conference or haven't been on the same team, but now they're going to get an opportunity. So guys, you know, who have played exclusively in the Western Conference, like, what would it look like to see, you know, a LeBron James, James Harden, well, we've already seen that, but LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and somebody who's not part of the national team, you know, Kristaps Porzingis, maybe.
Sure.
Like, what would that lineup look like? And so I think there's an opportunity for some fun mix and match with guys that have never had an opportunity to play together. And, you know, those storylines could be a lot of fun. And the other thing to keep in mind, watch this game and then kind of remember what some of these teams' lineup combinations look like, and then bring them up again come free agency time.
Yeah.
And see who was talking in the locker room, who was, you know, trying to figure out, or who said, man, I really like playing with this guy.
Who assisted on the most buckets for who? Things
yeah,
like that.
We got to
yeah.
go out and get him. So I think it's going to bring back some intrigue. I think it'll bring back, you know, some fun to the All-Star game. I don't know if it'll bring back the competitiveness.
Not on the defensive side, I highly doubt.
No, I think it's a showcase, and I imagine we'll see that. But I think there's definitely some fun storylines. And again, get your Timberwolves in there. Use the hashtag NBA vote. Karl-Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, the rest of the Wolves, and try to get those guys at the All-Star game in Los Angeles. Again, second round voting returns come out January 11th. You continue to vote through January 15th. That'll do it for this episode of Wolvescast Audio on Demand. For Cal Soderquist, I'm John Foki, saying so long. Don't forget to subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher. You can follow us on SoundCloud, Timberwolves.com, of course, and your Amazon Echo. We'll talk to you again next week right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.